We are entering the vast world of lighting options and learning how to make energy conscious choices. It is the next installment of our Ask a Contractor series, and we brought in the lighting experts on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So we had the aha moment in our house, had all these little puck lights installed in our basement to provide directional light, and on built-in shelving in the living room, we always say, how about a puck light here? They've really helped us see better, be more energy efficient. So much to talk about in lighting. Have you switched to LEDs? What efficiency have you noticed? Do you have antique or vintage lights? What are issues there? 800-642-1234. Ron Lockhart owns A1 Light Doctor LLC in Milwaukee. He's a lighting restoration and installation expert. Ron, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi.
Hi, good morning. Yeah. We also have Ron Reinowski, who is Vice President of Business Development and Lighting at Hein Electric Supply in West Allis. Ron, welcome to you.
Good morning, Kate.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Ron Reinowski, let's start with you. You know, there are many gazillion choices in lighting, especially online, where I can get lost for hours. How do you suggest we consumers wade through all of this to understand what we need for a lighting project? What are some things we should ask ourselves going into it?
Well, you need to ask the basics. Is it an indoor or outdoor project that you're going to tackle? Within that, what is the feel you're looking for in the space? Are you looking to do with the pandemic? A lot of people are gravitating towards working out of the house. So are you turning that bedroom into an office or the living room into an office? Or are you looking for something that's going to set a mood for a particular event? Or even different times of the day, the space could be used for different things. So having a handle on what you're going to use the space for would be first and foremost.
Yeah, because also it's not just about what that overhead light wattage is. It's also about, you know, different places you might have light in the room and what direction it's coming from. So you really have to think through those things.
Correct. One of the things we like to do is layer lighting in a space rather than just having one particular light overhead shining down. You know, if we can work it from top to bottom, maybe have some under cabinet lighting. If there's cabinets, some overhead lighting, some directional accent lighting. Some table lighting or floor lamp lighting, so you can dial in and dial out what you want and don't want at different times of the day.
Ron Lockhart, you are an antique lighting restorer, so can you tell us a little bit about what you do and what you encounter?
Okay, what I do is I restore vintage and antique lighting. Say, for instance, you just bought a home, and you have the original lighting in there, I could come in and take care of that for you, as in if you need a complete rewire job or you need to totally restore it. Most of the time, people just paint over layers and layers of paint, and most of the time it's white for some reason or kind of green. So what we do is strip the paint off and bring it back to the original finish, or if you got some other decor going, we can do many different finishes, from oil-wrought bronze to brass to copper to silver to nickel. So that just depends on your finish options. But most of the time, people want it restored back to the original finish.
Have you found have you found that there's this, you know, natural pull to restore, to really bring vintage lighting back to life?
Yes. Currently, I'm working on a home where she just bought and she has all the original fixtures. And, you know, she found some up in the attic that they just took down and replaced it. So she wants me to come in and just restore all the lighting to the natural finish. So people are trending towards getting back into the vintage. And, you know, the older people, they really want the original finish. They don't want to go buy out and buy new, you know, grab something that's not suitable to the house or the period.
Yeah. We have Ron Lockhart with us and Ron Reinowski this hour helping us through lighting issues. Ron Lockhart owns a lighting restoration company in Milwaukee. Ron Reinowski is with a wholesale distribution company for lighting. You can join in 800-642-1234. Ron Reinowski, how often do your customers want vintage lighting versus more of a modern look or more contemporary style?
Quite a bit. When we're working with a residential contractor or run a residential project, we're seeing more and more people gravitating back towards a vintage look. With the advent of LED bulbs, when they first came out, they were very utilitarian looking, very industrial look to the actual bulb itself. But in the last couple of years, we've seen more and more filament bulbs come out, which are the old style where you can see the filament glowing through clear glass. And many of the fixtures that are available now play off of that and allow you to see that filament through to like a seated glass or a frosted glass or a clear glass. So we're seeing a less modern and I would say more period type of lighting being prevalent.
Well, you mentioned LEDs. What can you tell us about LED lighting and what it is?
In a nutshell, LED lighting is an electronic diode. Rather than using a filament that glows, that heats up and glows and causes visible light, it uses an electronic diode. And with that diode, you can cover the diode with a phosphor and get different color temperatures. So you can get a nice warm 1800 degree Kelvin or 2000 degree Kelvin for a very warm setting, like in a restaurant or a home. And you can go up to 5,000 degree Kelvin for industrial applications, or even 6,500 degree Kelvin to emulate daylight. So there's different stopping points and choices that go beyond what you could have with incandescent or even fluorescent in the past. Along with that comes the ability to save about 75% of the energy watt per watt of light produced over an incandescent bulb. So,
wow.
Great energy savings, great life expectancy to them. The standard incandescent bulb could last you 800 to 1,000 hours. Most of the newer LED bulbs that are coming out now are 20 to 25,000 hours of rated life. So we're starting to see great life expectancy, great color rendering and color temperature selections, and great energy savings as well.
Ron Lockhart, is it possible to transition antique lights, these antique fixtures, into LEDs?
What we're doing now, when someone comes in and have your fixture rewired or restored, I tell them to transition over to LED bulbs because they burn. They don't burn hot. The incandescent bulbs, they burn hot. And if you have a light that's hanging upside down, the heat just rises and it just kind of, you know, burns out the electrical over time. So I tell everybody to go with like a soft white or warm white, you know, depends, because that's kind of like a natural white. And so when they put their bulbs back up, for one, you'll save a lot of energy and you'll be using less watts.
And what about putting them on a dimmer? That is, of course, something that is such an advantage for us with LED lighting. Is that possible, Ron, on these vintage lights?
Yes. You can just, like once they're installed, it's a switch on the wall. You just take your regular switch out and you can have a dimmer installed.
Okay.
But when you buy an LED light, you most of the time have to have a LED dimmer to go with the LED lights. So you have to buy dimmable LED bulbs and a LED switch for the wall.
We have
so they can be compatible.
We have lighting experts Ron Lockhart with us and Ron Reinowski for the hour as part of our Ask a Contractor series. You can join in. Are you having wiring issues with lights? Do you know what the issue is? Have you had flickering or dimming? Maybe you're confused by compact fluorescent light bulb offerings, what you see on the side of the package. Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're getting the lowdown on light fixtures as part of our Ask a Contractor series on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I've noticed neighbors putting up those long strings of bulb lights to dress up their deck or their home's entrance, and I wonder if that's becoming a pandemic look as people host more gatherings outside. Just something I noticed as we were out trick-or-treating the other night. How are you lighting up your outdoor spaces? What about adding lighting to a walkway or deck? What do you want to ask the lighting experts? 800-642-1234. We have Ron Lockhart, who owns a Milwaukee lighting restoration company, and Ron Reinowski, who's with an electric supply company in West Allis. They're with us for the hour. Let's bring in Paul now in Northern Illinois. Hi, Paul. What is your lighting situation? Oh, are you there, Paul? I don't think Paul is there. Paul has, and this, I think, Ron Lockhart, is for you. Paul has a vintage light fan combo in the bathroom. Wants advice on how to restore it. And Paul, if you're there, just speak up. But I don't think we're hearing you at this moment. Ron, could you address that?
Yes. You would, if it's working perfectly and the wiring is good, and you can tell if the wiring is good or bad most of the time if the wiring is super hard. Wire is supposed to be flexible. So if it doesn't need rewiring, you can take it down, strip it, and then, you know, if you want to paint it, pick a nice Rust-Oleum paint and, strip it, prime it, paint it, and let it harden before you put it back up. But just remember how you took it down so you can put it back up the proper way.
Wise words there. Ron, while we're in the bathroom, Ron Reinowski, you know, how many watts should a bathroom light be, or what kind of lighting would you suggest in the bathroom? Because that includes the shower as well. Go ahead.
Sure. So in a bathroom, we would be most likely taking a fixture out of a shower area that would have a 60-watt bulb and replacing it with somewhere between a 6 and 10-watt LED. Same with over the mirror. Depending on the size of the mirror, the length of the mirror, if you just have a standard mirror with a standard width sink, like a 24-inch wide mirror, you're probably looking at a 2-3 bulb fixture. Again, probably somewhere between 6 and 10 watts apiece. Color temperature could be something a little tricky. Depending on the decor, you're going to run anywhere from probably 3,000 to 4,000 degree Kelvin in the color temperature. So kind of a neutral white that plays favorites with all colors and doesn't necessarily pull out the reds or pull out the blues when you're looking at a surface in the mirror.
Yeah, because certainly when you look in the mirror, lighting can make such a difference as to what you see in that reflection.
Yeah, what you're trying to do is you're trying to set up the room that when you're getting ready in the morning, putting on makeup, trying on clothes, that when you're out in the real world the rest of the day, no matter where you go, that what you've seen in the morning is pretty much how you're going to look to other people when you're out and about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, when you look at what lighting is best for a shower, what about the moisture in the shower and all that water? Does that make a difference in what you choose?
That's a very good question. So what you want to look for are fixtures that are actual shower rated. And by that, they mean that it has a non-conductive front or a front that's non-metallic, either a fiberglass or a polymer type of product. And they're also gasketed to be moisture resistant and water resistant. So there's several brands out there and several different styles that can meet that criteria.
Yeah. Ron Lockhart, I want to ask you about when you have a vintage lighting fixture in a bathroom, say, what are some restoration things that you think about as you change lighting in the bathroom?
Well, if you're looking to put an antique fixture in the bathroom, you want it to be a nice finish that it won't over time like rust out because it's moisture in the bathroom. So you pretty much want a all solid brass fixture, I would say, because solid brass does not rust. And over time, if you get a cheap, like metal fixture that rust or steel or iron, Over years, you would see it depend and rust out. So I would stay away from those.
So as you layer the lighting, Ron Reinowski, and you go into the kitchen, can you start with the light over that dining room table and some considerations that you make as you choose, something that is a focal point maybe for that space?
Sure. One of the things our designers do here is take a look at, the height of the ceiling, the size of the table, the length of the table, and how it fits in the space, and they try to find a fixture that's going to balance that size-wise. The nice thing with a lot of the residential lighting that's offered right now is you can find a particular style, and you'll find a small and a medium and a large version of that unit most likely. So we can size it right for scale. And then they'll take a look at what are your other metallic finishes in the space. What's your door handle hardware? What's your hinge hardware? Things like that. And come up with some complementing metallic finishes. So that's where we would start with the with a dining room table. From there, we go into the under cabinet lighting or in cabinet lighting if you have glass shelves. And how do we help you draw some attention and maybe some fine stemware or put under cabinet lighting in so you can better prepare food and the other tasks that you have to do. We take a look at the types of under cabinet lighting and how polished or non-polished your countertop may be to try to minimize reflection. From there, we do downlighting in the space, general downlighting for prepping and for cleanup, and then the accent lighting if there's anything on the walls that want to be accented. So we create several different layers that can be dimmed independently and switched independently depending on where you are during that evening. Are you entertaining? Are you cleaning? Are you eating, and have different settings for those different steps throughout the process.
Okay, so here's my question. How high over the dining room table should that light fixture hang? Should that chandelier hang? What are some rules of thumb, if you will?
There's really no hard and fast rule. But in general, I like to see the bottom of the fixture at least 4 feet from the tabletop.
Okay.
Otherwise, what will happen is it'll get too low. You could be standing there talking to somebody who's sitting and looking through the chandelier to talk to them.
No, bad.
You want to leave it up a little bit higher, but there really is no hard and fast rule. But at least high enough that when you're sitting across the table from somebody, the chandelier isn't the bottom of the chandelier isn't in your line of sight looking across the room or even distracting you because it's just above your line of sight.
So Ron Lockhart, help me out here. How high do you hang your lights? What do you think about when you're hanging a light?
Like Ron said, there's no standard thing. It's pretty much up to the homeowner kind of, but
no, hanger, don't push it onto us.
I say it's about 32 inches, 32, 34 over the table from the ceiling to the bottom, 32, 30, to 34 is the general height. But you do want to bring it down where when you walk into the room, it's not look like it's stuck to the ceiling. It's mm-hmm. at a proper height that's hanging down where when you walk in, it's shining over the table pretty good. And also when you're sitting down, you don't want it, to be a focal point. You don't want to be looking at the light, trying to look across the table.
Sometimes,
so generally
yeah.
about 32, 34 down.
One thing that is concerning too, is if you have like a narrow hallway, a super kind of narrow or closed in hallway, and then you've got a big lighting fixture there. It just seems to me that it's out of balance. Do you encounter that, Ron Lockhart?
Yes. For those, I would do flush mounts or semi-flush. But when you see those, some people say, well, that was like that when I got here, when I bought the house.
Mm-hmm.
And, if they have a tall person in the house, they call me out and say, hey, I want to have this shortened, which we could do. We'll take it down and shorten it to the proper height and bring it back and install it. But yeah, most of the time, they're already in the home and someone just kind of, hung it there.
Ron Reinowski, how do you make sure that taller people aren't bumping into lights and take that into consideration?
Well, that's an interesting question because it all depends, again, on the age of the house. Some of the older farmhouses, especially on the second floors, have real short ceilings. One of the things that has happened with LEDs is that dedicated LED fixtures or fixtures that have LED chips built into them, not necessarily a screw and bulb, had become very, very shallow in dimension. And some of the flush mounts that Ron Lockhart was talking about, we can now get in 6, 7, 9, 10 inches in diameter and only be maybe 3/4 of an inch thick. So when it's attached to the ceiling, it almost appears to be like it's a recessed downlight, but it's actually mounted on the surface. So we can get pretty close to the actual ceiling height of the space and still provide decent lighting as part of the result.
And that helps so much when you have low ceilings too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ron Ranowski with us, and Ron Lockhart as well, as part of our Ask a Contractor series. They're lighting experts helping to diagnose, repair light fixtures, tackling all your lighting questions. What do you want to know about task lighting or accent lighting? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Chandeliers, entry lights, sconces, task lighting. There is a whole lot to talk about with lighting as part of our Ask a Contractor series on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to the EPA, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, lighting accounts for about 15% of an average home's electricity use. The average household saves about $225 in energy costs each year by using LEDs. What questions do you have about making the switch to LEDs? Have you had LED fixtures installed in your home? How are they working? 800-642-1234. Milwaukee area light experts Ron Lockhart and Ron Ranowski are fielding all your questions about lighting this hour. Let's go to Paul now in Northern Illinois. Paul, are you there? You were in with the bathroom lighting concern.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Yes, go ahead.
Yay. Yeah, I have a sort of an obsolete, but it's an older Newtone combo bath and combo ventilation fan and light in my bathroom. It's round. It's got like a 13-inch hole. The lens went missing, actually, from the previous owner of the house, and I just want to replace that lens. It's got like those hooks on it, springs. You know, that sort of carry the lens in, two of those. And I just can't find the lens. I looked online for this model number, and it seems to not be for sale anymore. So is there a solution for that? This is probably Ron Lockhart question. I don't know.
That is, Paul. Thank you. Ron Lockhart, go ahead.
Okay. Probably for something like that, you might have to take it down and take it into a lighting, a glass store. And they probably could custom make you one, or custom make you something to fit it. Or look online to try to find the same make and model of that for replacement on eBay or something. But that's going to be a tough one to try to replace that glass. But your option might be take that down and take it into a glass store, someone who makes glass. And they probably could either point you in the right direction or custom make you one to fit that.
Paul, good luck with that. Yes. Chris now in Oconomowoc. Chris, hi.
Hi. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Oh, you're breaking up just a bit. Try again.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Oh dear. So you're in a spot that's kind of bad. But I understand you have a vintage light, and when you try to put LEDs in, they explode. Is that what's happening?
LEDs and incandescents have both exploded, and the dimmers I put on them keep burning out as well.
What could that be? Ron Ranowski, do you want to give that a crack?
Sure. Chris, it sounds like what you might be experiencing is a high voltage situation or even a short somewhere along the line. LED bulbs are pretty tolerant to a swing plus or minus a few percentage in regular house current, and the dimmers are as well. So if you're blowing up bulbs or burning out dimmers, that tells me you might have something deeper going on either within the fixture or within your wiring yourself in the home itself. So it wouldn't be a bad thing at this point to maybe have an electrician come through and trace that circuit and just see what's going on.
Wires be reversed, like the hot and the neutral in the fixture?
That could be part of it, but there again, when you start to talk about bulbs blowing up or the dimmers burning out, it could be something as simple as a short that maybe is strong enough to do damage to the light or the dimmer, but weak enough to actually trip the breaker back at the panel.
Ron Lockhart, anything to add there?
Yes. From my experience, most of the time, your vintage fixture need to be rewired or the sockets needs to be replaced. Because if your sockets in your vintage light needs to be replaced, it will blow out a dimmer because dimmers are really sensitive. So that seems to be what's happening. So if you had your fixture rewired or your sockets replaced, I would have to take a look at it to see which one it is. That would really solve your problem.
Okay.
And let me ask you a question. Is there any paper insulation in there, like a paper liner?
You know, might be. There might be a paper liner in the socket.
Yes. So that tells me that your paper liner has burnt out and your socket is arcing onto your fixture, which is burning it out. And when it does that, it's going to burn the dimmer out every time because it's kind of sensitive to it. So you just need a rewire job, and that'll solve your whole problem with your bulbs and your dimmer.
Well, that's great to know.
Much.
Yes, Chris, thank you. A lot of sleuthing going on here. Ron Lockhart is here, lighting restoration and installation expert. And Ron Reinowski as well, Vice President of Business Development and Lighting at a Wisconsin supply company, is part of our Ask a Contractor series, getting at your questions at 800-642-1234. Matt now in Nisita. Matt, hi.
Hey there. So I've got a question. It's about a ceiling fan, but the ceiling fan does have lights. I recently completely remodeled my living room. I installed two completely new ceiling fans, junction boxes and all, ran the wiring myself. One ceiling fan works perfectly. It's quiet. It's great. The other ceiling fan has an electrical hum every time I turn it on, and it's not that the blades are unbalanced. It's like actually a hum coming from the motor. I actually took the fan back to the store, got a new one, put the same fan in, a new one of the same model, and it did the exact same hum. I'm wondering, could it be the lighting because it does have three lights attached to it, or could it be the wiring or some kind of problem with the electricity going to the fan?
Ron Lockhart, you first.
Okay, to me that kind of sounds like a grounding issue somewhere on that particular area of fan. It's not grounded properly. That's pretty much the only thing I could think of at this time, because you did replace it with the same exact fan, so it's doing the same exact thing. So it kind of sounds like it's a wiring or grounding issue somewhere.
Ron Reinowski, what should people keep in mind when buying a ceiling fan and putting it in?
One of the things you should keep in mind is how the ceiling fan is controlled. What type of controller are you using? There are different grades of controllers, some that will give you some motor feedback, some that won't. So make sure you pick a good quality control to go with it. The other thing to think about, too, is the size of the room, the size of the fan, the blade size, the blade width. You want to make sure it's in scale. You want to make sure that the fan is going to move the proper amount of air that you want to move in a time frame. And a lot of that can be found right on the box and on the labeling as far as the specifications to do that.
Our ceiling fan that we installed in our porch has a remote control. And so instead of another remote getting lost, we did a little bit of Velcro action where you would normally put a light switch and just stuck it on the wall.
That's the perfect solution.
Exactly.
Well, it's those little tiny remotes and these ceiling fans, these are really tiny petite remotes. And I just thought to myself, that couch, it is going to go into the depths of the couch and it will never return.
Yes. Somehow the couch eats remotes.
Yeah. Well, we have an email here from Jill, wants to know about the future of halogen bulbs and fixtures. They have several in the house and are wondering if halogens are being phased out. Ron Reinowski, you first.
Okay, so across the pond in Europe, some countries have actually banned halogen and said that as long as there is a suitable replacement for LED, we're going to phase out the use of the halogen bulb. Over here in the United States, we have not done any mandating phasing out or outlawing those bulbs, although what we have seen is a lot of manufacturers do what's called delisting or getting rid of those particular bulbs just because the sales of them has dropped so dramatically. So the nice thing is we're still in the growth mode with LED and LED bulbs. There are new ones coming out every day to replace kind of the odder size bulbs or the less popular size bulbs that are out there. Obviously, when LED first came out, it was geared towards replacing bulbs of the masses. So your A19 screw-in bulbs that go in your table lamps and in your recess lights, your PAR bulbs, fluorescent tubes, the 4-foot tubes, changing those to LED, that all kind of happened pretty quick. And now we're starting to see the rest of the picture kind of get filled in as far as the other bulbs that are out there. So if you're worried about it, maybe stock up on a couple of the bulbs. Halogens do last a little bit longer than a standard incandescent, so maybe having a couple extra on hand. But just keep checking the internet and keep checking the stores and keep watching for replacements to come out for those kind of odder or less popular bulbs that might just be a very specific fit to a fixture.
Ron Lockhart, what have you seen out of halogens in the vintage and antique area?
Okay, well, people have been bringing in their halogen lights and having them retrofitted for LEDs. So because they halogen bulbs, they burn super hot, and if you could replace them all with LEDs, they do have some replacement for some of them. So I would start there and just try to replace them all with LEDs. You'll save a lot of energy. Plus, they LEDs burn. They don't burn hot. So, and if you see in the stores, a lot of them are getting rid of the halogen bulbs and phasing over to LEDs. I think in the next probably 10 to 15 years, they won't even sell the halogen bulbs no more. So if you start now, transform everything over, that would be a better bet.
Ron Lockhart, owner of a Milwaukee lighting restoration and installation company. Ron Reinowski with us, leads an electric supply company in West Allis. Have you recently installed new light fixtures in your home? Did you hire a professional? What type of lights are they? Are you an electrician? What kind of lighting problems do you address a lot with customers? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're focused on lighting in the home as part of our Ask a Contractor series on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The EPA says if you're still using incandescent bulbs, switching to energy-efficient lighting is one of the fastest ways to cut energy bills. Have you got questions about dimmers and switchers? Still time, 800-642-1234. Ron Reinowski specializes in electrical supply distribution, and Ron Lockhart is an antique lighting expert. They're with us for about 10 more minutes. Let's go to Dan now in Coloma. Hi, Dan. What is the lighting situation you're encountering?
Well, we bought some lighted ceiling fans with remote controls, and it's to put them in with a three-way switch, and it says I cannot use the remote controls, so I put them in without the remote control that we had bought specifically for that fan. I'm looking to see how I can get around this so I can have a remote control with the three-way switch.
Well, Ron Lockhart, do you want to go first?
I really couldn't tell you how to do that. That might be best suited for Ron Spanowski.
Sure. Without knowing the specific fan itself, you're right. A lot of the fans do have stipulations that you can only have a single location, not a three-way, when you're using a remote control. There are other remote controls out there from third-party manufacturers, control companies that are not fan companies, that you could look into that may handle a three-way location, but that would require most likely taking the control part out of the fan and installing a control module by that dimming or control company. But there are, like I said, there are some third-party controls out there that do a great job of controlling fans.
Dan, good luck, and don't lose that remote. Let's go to Amy now in Madison. Amy, hi.
Hi. My question is about my existing kitchen, where I have under cabinet lighting and I have a ceiling fan. But I'm wondering, I have some dark areas that need better lighting, and our ceiling fan light seems harsh. And I don't know where to start. Like, do I start with an electrician? Do I start with a lighting shop? Do I start with an interior decorator? I don't know where to begin.
Rod Marinowski, go.
Sure. That's an easy question. Actually, start with your electrician, because he's going to be able to come in and take a look at your space, kind of get an idea of what you want as far as extra lighting in the space, and then start to look at things like which way your joists run in your ceiling, how hard is it going to be to pull wiring to where a fixture doesn't exist. From there, he's going to reach out to somebody like us, a supplier that has people on staff that can help consult on what kind of proper lighting to add to the space to augment it based on the conditions and based on where fixtures can go. So first and foremost, start with the electrician, have him come out and assess the space. And then from there, like I said, he'll pull in some experts behind the scenes to help kind of guide the right selections.
So as Amy's going through this process, thanks, Amy. Are there some tips you have about how to space or lay out recessed lighting? Because oftentimes in the kitchen, you have those recessed lighting features. Do you have any anything to go by in terms of laying that out on the ceiling?
Sure. So when you're laying out fixtures in the kitchen, we used to lay them out about 6 feet on center, 4 to 6 feet on center, around islands or around the walkways to an island. Now with the advent of LED downlights, the LED downlights throw light at a much higher angle, which means they cover a wider range of space. So you can actually get them spaced out a little bit farther than you could in the past, maybe saving, one or two extra holes in the ceiling when it's all done. But there again, the electrician will pull somebody like us in, and we'll take a look at the blueprint of the space or come out and scale the space with the electrician. And then from there, kind of do the best placement philosophy and kind of make sure you have good coverage everywhere, not only on your kitchen island, but your walk spaces and things like that. We'll also suggest different switching scenarios. You might want to have your island switched differently than in another area in the kitchen. So they can be dimmed or turned off and on separately. So we'd also consult on that as well.
Amy, thank you. Anne now in West Allis is sewing or knitting in the basement. Anne, hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Good
morning. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Yes, I was working knitting, and the light above me, which is an LED, flickered and went out and then started smelling. And the smell lasted for a long time. I, of course, took the light bulb out, but the odor was still there. And I'm just wondering, did I burn some electrical wire?
Ron Lockhart, what might have happened?
Well, it seems like you something is burning up there. Like electrical wire or the socket or maybe even the bulb. But the first thing I would do is call your local electrician to come and take a look at that ASAP, because it seems like it's something's going on, and I would not put another bulb in there until he comes out to take a look at it.
Okay.
And thank you. Myrna now in Milwaukee. Myrna, hi.
Good morning. I have two issues. One is that the light switch in our dining room that is on a dimmer seems to get warm if it's left on for very long. That's the little plastic plate next to the switches. And then the second question is retrofitting an existing bathroom fixture that's very lovely, and it has it needs LED instead of the really bright burning one.
Well, let's tackle that first question, Ron Reinowski. How warm is too warm on a plate?
Sure. Dimmers by nature are used as kind of a choke. They choke down electricity as it's going to a bulb, and that's what's going to regulate, you know, how bright or how dim a bulb is. In that process, a certain amount of heat is generated inside the dimmer. It is not uncommon for the dimmer to be warm to the touch, but if the dimmer or the faceplate is hot to the touch, or so hot that you can't keep your hand on the faceplate, then the dimmer may be overloaded, or it might be the wrong dimmer for the application. So there again, if it's warm to the touch, that's not anything to be overly alarmed about at all, or to be alarmed about. But if it's hot to the touch, then you're going to want to have an electrician look at it a little bit deeper.
Ron Lockhart, can you take that second part of the question about retrofitting from halogen to LED?
That depends on the fixture, but any fixture can be retrofitted to LEDs. Most fixtures, if you have just a regular socket, you can just actually take the incandescent bulb out and just screw a LED in, and most of the time it's not a problem. But I mean, if you got a bulb and you're trying to do something special with it, you can always retrofit it over.
Myrna, thank you. In our last few moments we have with you, starting with you, Ron Lockhart, how do you properly dispose of a light bulb or a light fixture?
You take them down and take them to your local local disposable shop, like the your local garbage disposal place. You know where you take
recycling
your stuff
facility.
Down. Yes, the recycling facility. And most of the time they have a place there where they take all the incandescent bulbs and fluorescent bulbs and dispose of them properly.
Ron Reinowski, do you encounter that question as to what do we do about these old bulbs?
We do. Both residentially, like Ron Lockhart said, you can take those as a consumer to a recycling center and dispose of them. If it's a larger commercial project, there are some companies out there that will actually come through and take all the bulbs out of a large office space or a school and dispose of them. But normally that's a much larger scale project. But for the average consumer, going to a recycling center would be the first step.
Ron Reinowski, thank you for joining us.
Sure, no problem, Kate, anytime.
And Ron Lockhart, thank you for being here.
Thank you, my pleasure. It was great.
Ron Lockhart, owner of A1 Light, doctor in Milwaukee, lighting restoration expert. Ron Reinowski, vice president of business development and lighting at Hein Electric Supply in West Allis. Be sure to join us again a week from today as we continue our Ask a Contractor series. And don't miss out on any tip or trick from our home improvement series. Find it all at WPR.org/contractor, where we've compiled resources there to help you with your next project. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.